Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sari. When we look at how Malaysia is going to forge ahead in 2023, we need to understand how the country needs to perform better in the realm of connectivity, infrastructure, and most importantly, data management. That's why we need to look into the idea of how cloud can be better, best served, not just in this country, but regionally as well. Joining me here in Berjaya Times Square is Wong Weng Yu, the board member of DKIX Malaysia, previously known as the Johor Bahru Internet Exchange. Johor Bahru Internet Exchange. But right now, DKIX is looking at much, much more bigger issues than that. Of course, Wang, let's talk a little bit more into the whole landscape of cloud infrastructure in Malaysia and in the region. Where do we stand when it comes to cloud right now?
Thanks for having me today, Ibrahim. When it comes to cloud, Malaysia, we are currently still at the beginning of the cloud explosions.
Okay.
And there are definitely a lot more headrooms for the cloud business to grow in Malaysia.
Right now, even right now, I thought it's like we were reaching maturity status already.
Well, we haven't. Actually, there's so much advancement in the cloud that Malaysia have not taken advantage of right now. As you probably are aware, recently AI is a very hot topic. You know, when it comes to AI, the impact of the technologies is far-reaching.
Okay, so let's talk about cloud. Let's talk about AI per se. ChatGPT saw the quickest 100 million subscribers ever rolled out. Even though it was rolled out in November last year, the active user base has risen to now, estimates have shown 350 million users globally. Mm-hmm. And this has spurred Microsoft and Google as well to hasten their pace on AI rollout. We're looking at valuations of AI services like ChatGPT, DALL-E, and many more rising to the levels of tens of billions of dollars. In fact, OpenAI, the company that rolled out ChatGPT, is now looking at a very interesting hybrid acquisition / merger mode with Microsoft. All this results in us not just utilizing AI even more, but putting a greater stress on cloud than ever seen before. Do you feel that the infrastructure support for cloud has to be reinvigorated further, more investments has to be done into this space faster, and most importantly, where do Malaysia stand when it comes to cloud services in the space or grand scheme of things of data providers and cloud providers in the world?
Okay, as DKIX, we are the pioneer in connectivity.
Yes.
So for us, our passion is in connecting networks together and making the internet faster. Now, looking at Malaysia, we have developed Johor Bahru way before Johor Bahru is becoming a very hot bait of data center. You know, we started back in 6 years ago. Started with JBIX, and today, you know, thanks to this pioneer effort, Johor is now a hotbed for data center investments. So, and then from Johor Bahru, we have also extended up to Klang Valley, and we do see there are more areas in Malaysia that can enjoy the connectivity services provided by DKIX. One of the key example is Penang. We also see a lot of investment coming into Penang, and Penang has long has a vision of developing the Penang State Government has vision to develop to further develop the digital ecosystem in Penang, and this is an areas that we feel DKIX can add value to the state government effort. And beyond Penang, we also see a few one or two more locations in Malaysia where DKIX can add value. By bringing in our connectivity products, connectivity service that can bring cost-effective connectivity and enhance connectivities to the mass public.
It seems like it's still rather piecemeal where you go state by state, city to city. What's the situation like when it comes to bringing the infra nationwide, meaning that working together with KKD or the Kementerian Komunikasi and Digital? Where do you see the kicks and, for that matter, cloud services being rolled out at this level?
Unfortunately, when it comes to connectivities, we need all the stakeholders, namely the telco, the OTT players to work together. And in areas where there is less infrastructures, it takes time for the infrastructures to be built, meaning the fiber have to be laid, mm-hmm. Data center have to be built. Mm-hmm. So this is why it takes time for a connectivity ecosystem to be built. But we are working very closely with the state governments in developing the ecosystems all around in Malaysia. And definitely MCMC is also one of our main stakeholders that we work with. Mm-hmm. We definitely have the whole ecosystem's longevities in mind when we are developing the business case for new locations. We need to make sure that the infrastructure is ready.
Okay, I want to understand a little bit better about regionally as well. How is Malaysia compared vis-a-vis ASEAN, for instance? Most importantly, looking at countries that we know are rather aggressive in this, namely Vietnam and Indonesia, and mature market like Singapore. Mm. Where do we stack up? How do we stack up?
Malaysia, we are blessed with one of the most ideal geographical locations in the ASEAN country. Mm. It's located right at the center of all the activities. Mm. So I do believe that there's a lot more upside that we can develop for Malaysia, leveraging on this geographical advantage. Mm. An example is when it comes to connectivities, typically between content and the eyeball players, everybody will look for a suitable location for where everybody can connect at ease with a better performance, lower cost. Malaysia, being situated at the center of ASEAN, will provide everybody with this advantage. Mm. So and this is one of the areas that DKX has been actively developed to make Malaysia the next preferred connectivity hub in ASEAN.
For instance, in Indonesia, are they rather more aggressive, less aggressive than us? Vietnam, are they more aggressive, less aggressive than us? What's the feel that you have right now?
Everybody's if you look around Singapore, definitely we see they are the regional hubs, indisputable. But Singapore also suffer from issue which is the lack of resources, you know, the power, for example.
Yeah.
So we have seen regionally there have been competitors coming up. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned Indonesia, Thailand, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. and Vietnam. So each country's are working rather actively in competing to be the next connectivity hub in the regions. Mm-hmm. If you look at the region developments when there's an influx of data center investments, mm. FDI, mm. coming into Johor, mm. So that pretty much confirmed that Malaysia will be the next up and coming connectivity hub in the region. So I definitely working very hard and I definitely believe Malaysia, we continue to develop our infrastructures to supply to the regional audience.
Yeah.
We will have a good shot at being the next digital hubs other than Singapore.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Wang of the DKX. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Wong Wang Yu of the DKX. He's a board member there. Let's talk about energy and power supply. Tenaga Nasional and the Energy Commission has made overtures saying that there would be a new tariff structure for corporates and commercial building. There's also a revisitation in terms of how residency is going to look at, in terms of cost structure. Does this provide some form of risk premium towards network infrastructure and connectivity in Malaysia?
Definitely, yeah. With the recent removal of the ICPT subsidies from the government, mm-hmm. The industry is projected that every data centers operators will we have to pay at least a 30% increase in the power charges. Mm-hmm. So inevitably, this will be passed down to the end users. Mm-hmm. So we do foresee that with the increase in the service charges to the end users, they will also see a corresponding increase in the service charges across the board in that.
One would argue that Tenaga Nasional and the Energy Commission have no other option but to raise these tariffs to meet the global demand of cost when it comes to supplying energy and electricity. Do you think that this is inevitable, something like this to happen?
I think it's inevitable because if you look around in the rest of the world, almost every country have to adjust their power tariff in order to cater to the increase in the energy prices. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe that along with this increase in the increase in the power charges, the government should also be actively investing into the new energy source. Sustainable energies is going to be something that I believe the industry, working along with government, will have to actively explore, and more investment need to be put into these areas.
A few weeks ago, the EEAS, or the European Economic Action Society, under the auspices of the European Union, EU, organized the Global Hydrogen Economy Conference, a pan-global economic conference in Kuala Lumpur. There, the delegates from the EU and a few delegates from ASEAN met together, along with the economy minister, Rafizi Ramli, and there they discussed at length about using hydrogen as a key factor in terms of energy transition. Now, do you feel that we have what it takes to move towards hydrogen, building a bigger a global hydrogen economy, and perhaps addressing this whole energy transition that you speak of just now, to better serve the needs of the population in the context of the technology at providing cleaner, greener, more economic saving power to our grids right now?
Absolutely. I think the short answer to that is definitely we see a potential of hydrogen fuel being one of the more sustainable energy going forward. The challenge that we are facing right now is more of the generation of this hydrogen fuel.
Okay.
In order for you to have a hydrogen fuel, the cost to generate the hydrogen fuel is still a bit on the high side at the moment. So the cost benefit have not been has not been that drastic yet. So I think if you look at the recent development, there has also been ideas of using solar power,
yeah,
to generate hydrogen fuel,
yeah,
and then by transporting hydrogen fuel to the suitable locations, it can be one of the source of sustainable energies.
Okay, what would be the risk factor or the challenges in us trying to get that better? I know neither of us are energy experts, but we still need to talk about it. But yeah, what would be some of the risk factor that you think is going to stop us from using hydrogen as a new energy source?
I think the risk of using hydrogens is probably the resistance from from some of the energy's supplier.
Okay.
The cost of implementing it, and also there are also some of those existing power plant mm-hmm. that is using coal, and they have not been fully amortized out.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see that the energy supplier will be a bit resistant in trying to adopt new energy source, which require heavy investments.
Okay. Taking a step back and moving towards back to the Kixis role in this, there would be some key challenges that you need to navigate for this year, including higher inflationary pressures, looking at issues surrounding global economy, and most importantly, geopolitical issues. Where do you feel the risk factors lie when it comes to the Kix in trying to do what you need to do for this year? Where is the problem going to come from?
I think one of the key areas will be in addressing the cost of connectivities.
Okay.
Because the way we operate, we build a connectivity hub for all our users to connect to into in order to get a better connectivity with the rest of the internet.
Mm.
So the last mile connectivity cost is always a concern to us.
Mm.
How can we make it affordable for end users to connect to us?
Mm.
For example, if we were to start a connectivity hub in Penang, mm. The cost for our end users to connect to us,
mm.
that will always be something that something of a barrier for the uptake of our service.
Okay.
So this is one of the areas that we are concerned. And then the other areas, of course, is to try and get more industry players to work with us.
Mm.
For example, in certain locations, we need to the telco to bring the eyeballs to mm. connect to our connectivity hub.
Mm.
So we also need to actively work with telcos to make sure that everybody can get some advantage out of our connectivity ecosystems.
What is strange is that despite the fact that we need a lot of connectivity, better connectivity, wider connectivity, the margins aren't that huge in this sector. We're looking at compressed margins for the telcos year on year. Some, one or two even telcos, are running in the red for the past few years even.
Mm-hmm.
And mergers and acquisitions are necessary in order for them to stay afloat. How do you see technology providers in the space of connectivity trying to make money out of this sector, considering that it's very hard for them to do so, including yourself?
Yeah, I think one of the areas that the industry should look at is how can we make this pie bigger?
Yeah.
Right? So when the pie is big enough, everybody will go black, right? And the areas that we are looking at is how can we make Malaysia as a whole a bigger pie?
Mm.
And this is where, coming back to the point that we touched on earlier, mm. How can we make Malaysia a more competitive mm. regional hub
mm.
for the global internet?
Mm.
So
how do we do that?
Well, like I said, by leveraging on the geographical advantage, we build ecosystems at the right location where everybody can benefit, especially the foreign players.
Like the Johor Bahru Internet Exchange?
Like the Johor Bahru Internet Exchange, and also like an upcoming internet exchange that we built at the border between Thailand and Malaysia.
Bukit Kayu Hitam,
yeah.
Tell me more about that. What's happening there? Other than a train station allowing us to go into Thailand.
Yeah. So we believe that at the border between Malaysia and Thailand is another excellent geographical locations where telco OTTs are able to leverage great benefits from that location, because it's an ideal meet-me point
mm.
for traffic from the north
mm.
and traffic from the south
mm.
and traffic from the east and west.
Mm.
So I can talk a bit more about that in our next session.
Okay. Let me tell you something about something I can tell you now, right now, in mm. this session. I was traveling on a train ride throughout Thailand, Christmas, New Year's here, mm. this year. And in between very rural places, I was extremely shocked to get good internet, 5G internet. I could upload videos on Instagram, on TikTok, on the train in between towns. Mm. Can you imagine my surprise to get fantastic internet connection throughout rural Thailand? And this is hundreds of kilometers away from Bangkok. Mm. I can't even get good connection on the North-South Highway. Mm. Where do we stand in terms of trying to get good internet connection throughout the country? We've heard government doing stuff like Jendela and providing 4G connectivity and all that. But you know, let's not kid ourselves. Our internet connectivity is crap compared to our neighbors like Thailand. And then when you think about Thailand having lower income per capita GDP, lower GDP compared to Malaysia, higher poverty income, greater Gini coefficient between Malaysia, you start to wonder, where did we lose the plot when it comes to connectivity? We've lost the plot, you know? It is symbolized by the student that had to climb the tree in Sabah to take an exam some years ago. Are we really that far behind when it comes to connectivity?
I don't think so, to be honest. Ibrahim, because the way I look at connectivity is typically you have the last mile challenge. Mm. You also have, you know, the backhaul challenge. Mm. So I think the issues that you're seeing over there is mostly results of the last mile connectivity issues, meaning that sometimes when at certain blind spot you don't get a very good coverage, so it could be an engineering issues or it could be a terrain change. That broke the signal of the wireless providers that caused your connectivity issue. So obviously these are localized issues, but as a whole, Malaysia as a backbone, as a backhaul, I think we have an excellent infrastructures there, and that is actually one of the reasons why a lot of Indochina telcos are passing traffic through Malaysia. You know, to Singapore, for example. Malaysia, we actually play an excellent backhaul role for the whole regions. So what you're seeing there is an issue of the last mile, the localized connectivity issues. And this, I think the government currently have the Jendela program, you know, to try to address last mile issues. And also the telco also need to work with one another to help each other patch up all the blind spot, you know, and this is the kind of issue that can be addressed.
So this sounds like you're in favor of the single wholesale network done by DNB, where the telcos are working together, you have a single wholesale network provider. Is that it?
Not exactly, Ibrahim. Every solution, every proposal, there's a pros and cons. You know? The pros of a single wholesale network is you are able to save costs by consolidating investments into one company.
Yeah.
And because 5G, you require a very high amount of bandwidth in order for the high speed throughput. You know, if you split that bandwidth among multiple players, then everybody will suffer because nobody can fully utilize the bandwidth. With single wholesale network, things can be a lot more optimized for the whole industry. However, when you know this single wholesale network also have the disadvantage of, you know, giving people the
ultimate power,
the idea of a monopoly, right?
Not the idea. It is a monopoly. It is not an idea.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the pros and cons need to be carefully balanced in order for the benefit of a single wholesale network to be, you know, to be felt, you know, by the end users.
Nobody has a crystal ball, but how do you think this story is going to pan out when it comes to the single wholesale network under the new administration? In your opinion, in your guesstimate, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the rollout is already ongoing. I think for the benefit of our country, we should continue with that effort as quickly as possible. While at the same time, you know, because you know, that company is now already have all the telcos being the shareholders. I think between the shareholders, they should have a discussions. What would be, you know, the best way to benefit, you know, the country as a whole. So instead of looking at, you know, the P&L perspective, you know, we should look at, you know, some of the responsibility of the of this single host sales network to how can it quickly bring 5G services to as far corners as far away as possible from the urban areas, so that, you know, the whole country as a whole can reap the benefit of the concept of this single host sales network. So the shareholders have the responsibilities to you know, to make this work.
Fantastic. Right, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. That was Wong Wang Yu of The Kicks Malaysia. There's a lot of items that needs to be continued to discuss, including that of connectivity and cloud services, and most importantly, how the government is going to move forward when it comes to providing the best in terms of technology to us and to the region. So do stay tuned to read all of these kind of information and news on astroawani.com. My name is Ibrahim Sani, taped this interview at Berjaya Times Square, signing off.